right. Thank you, young folks. Did a great job. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Matthew, please. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, we'll be reading verses 18 through 25. When you found it, please stand for the reading of God's Word. We'll read together. Just stand one more time and stretch your legs. Verse number 20 will be our text verse today, but I want you to see the context here. I'll read the first verse. You read responsively with me on the second and down through the scripture here. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, took unto him his wife, and knew her not, though that she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to preach today just for a little while on Afraid of the Dark. Lord, today we thank you, Father, for this passage of Scripture. We thank you for Jesus. Lord, thank you that he is the Son of God, that he did come, born of a virgin. He came, Lord, to save us from our sins. We thank you, Lord, this time of the year as we look at remember, Father, his birth. And Lord, how precious it is. Lord, today I pray that you take the Scripture today and use your word to help your people. Help me, Father, we ask now in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Oftentimes, this time of the year, we think of Jesus Christ and his birth, and nothing wrong with that. The world has somewhat left that, and we see it being more and more commercialized every year. And for the most part, though, the world doesn't have a problem with Jesus Christ the baby, just as him as Jesus Christ God, Emmanuel. They have a problem with that. I want to preach today on verse number 20, where it says, And while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not. Fear not. Have you ever been afraid of the dark? Some of you guys probably didn't get to confess to that or admit to that, but you were afraid of the dark because you couldn't see what was around you. You felt in the darkness, you feel less in control. I remember as a young boy living in an old farmhouse that had all kinds of creaks and noises, and we lived way out in the country, and I always thought there was something under my bed. I always thought that at nighttime when it got dark, something's under your bed, and so I would never just get in the bed. I always just take a running jump to the bed. You jump to the middle, you cover up. As long as you're in the middle covered up, you are safe from whatever was under the bed. And so the dark, many folks are afraid of the dark, what may be in the dark. I remember the first time I went hunting by myself early in the morning hours. And I'd been hunting many times before that with other people. But the very first time by yourself, it was a little bit eerie as you walk out there through the woods. Things look different and sound different in the dark. And so fear comes, and sometimes you're afraid because of the terror that consumes your mind. Now that you're in the dark times as a young person, you remember the movies you watched, you probably shouldn't have watched before. And now you think about all those things that took place in the dark, and the books that you maybe have read begin replaying in your mind in the dark. And so when you're in the dark, every noise is a pending doom, right? And I can remember, sometimes, you know, you're afraid of the dark, and so in come with your parents. Your parents would come into the room, and they assure you there's nothing to be afraid of in the dark. And they maybe would turn a light on or leave a light in your room or leave the door open a little bit so you can see the light in the hallway. But they would come, and they would comfort you and assure you that there's nothing wrong to be afraid of in the dark. The believer, now, as we laugh about that some as adults looking back and see how sometimes Our fear was unfounded. There was nothing in the dark that to scare us. The dark was harmless in of itself. But fear is a real thing. And the believer deals with fear. We deal with fear. Fear hinders the will of God for your life. It'll hinder the will of God for your life. And in our fears, I find that God comforts us in our fears. We find in the scripture that over 65 times, God says to the believer, fear not. Over seven times, God says this, be not dismayed. 30 plus times, God says to the believer, be not afraid. We're reminded in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, where God says this, he hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so fear is a real thing that believers struggle with, and God comes along as a parent and comforts us in our fear and says, fear not, be not dismayed, be not afraid. I'm not giving you a spirit of fear that consume you, but I'm giving you a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Here you see that Joseph in the book of Matthew, as we look at the Christmas, we call the Christmas story, we're reminded this time of the year of the birth of Christ. You see that in the book of Matthew, that Joseph, that a man that God used in a great way, dealt with fear. He was consumed, or he had a bout of fear. Verse number 18, we find the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ. It says, verse number 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Here's how he was born. And the Bible establishes, now reminds us, of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found a child of the Holy Ghost. We find here the doctrine of the virgin birth, that Christ was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost, Jesus Christ, conceived by the Holy Ghost. And so this truth sets Jesus Christ apart from all other idols and false gods. There's been no other God, there's been no other man born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Ghost. And so this makes Christ different. It makes him anointed, makes him sovereign, it makes him God. And Mary was espoused to Joseph. And before they came together, of course, she was held a child of the Holy Ghost. Now Joseph, we find in verse number 19, was minded to put away privately. I remind you of this time and age, this day and age, that adultery, fornication, was a very deadly sin. If you're caught in adultery, if you're caught in a fornication, could mean that you would be stoned to death and put to death because of that. Joseph was a just man. So was Mary. Mary was a just woman, a virtuous woman. But not one to make her example. By the way, being engaged in those days was a stronger term than what we have today in our culture of being engaged. Being engaged in that time and that age was, you were pretty much married. And it would take an act of divorcement to break off an engagement. Today, you just give the ring back and said, I don't like you anymore, and you can end it. Back in that time, in that culture, it would take a decree of divorcement to put away an engaged wife. So Joseph not willing to make her a public example. She would have been shamed. He was going to put her away privately. And we find that verse number 20, it says that while he thought on these things, he began to think about it. And with that came fear. And he was afraid of what might take place. He was afraid of the consequences. He was afraid for his relationship, afraid for Mary. He had fear. We found that God sent an angel and said to Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. That which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now, we have heard this so many times, it no longer really impacts us. No longer do we get the mean of it or the full impact. Think about this now. You're engaged to a young woman. You both are very virtuous and have conducted yourself with great honor and integrity. Mary one day comes to you and says, Joseph, I want to talk to you just for a little while. And so can we talk and have a meal together and talk together? And she said, sure. And so they sit down there talking together. And she said, now, by the way, I called you because I want to tell you that I'm with child. Imagine his reaction. He wasn't the father. And so he's upset. He's going to question, well, who's the father? And she says this, the Holy Ghost is the father. Now, I want to remind you that for 400 years, there's not been any open prophecy by God. From the last Old Testament prophet to this time, seemingly God has been silent. There's been no prophecy. There's been no word from God. There's been no moving of God, it would seem, as we know of. And now all of a sudden at this mealtime they're having, this supper time they're having, she says to Joseph, the Holy Ghost, I'm having a child, and he's of the Holy Ghost. Now, can I ask you a question? If you were that father, that daughter's father, what would you think? Okay? And so this is a big deal. We look at it and think, well, think, what a great miracle. Praise God for that. But in that time, in that moment, he thinks this woman has caused reason for great shame. And now all of a sudden, he finds that the angel of God comes and says, listen, Joseph, Mary is saying it's true. God is going to use you both in a great way. Now, again, you got to remember that Joseph and Mary now have to tell, when people ask, what's going on in your life? You're not married yet, and your wife is, your fiance is with child. Well, it's not mine, it's the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God did that. So there's some great, if you will, some fear here involved in this as he deals with the situation, deals with the work of God. And God says, fear not, Joseph. God comes along Joseph and comforts him and says, Joseph, there's nothing to be afraid of. Fear not, because this is God's will. Don't be afraid and do God's will. Man struggles with fear. Joseph was told, Joshua was told in the Old Testament, be thou strong and very courageous. Fear not. Israel was told not to be afraid, but be very courageous. Solomon was told, be strong and of good courage. Don't fear. Proverbs chapter 27 says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, watch ye, stand fast. Quit ye like men. Be strong. And so men struggle with fear. The word fear, verse number 20, is the word phobia. Phobia. Fear. And this verb I find very interesting. This verb is in the passive form, meaning this, that man does not control fear. Fear controls man. Phobias don't... Listen, a man does not control a phobia. Phobia controls him. I remember growing up that my real mother had a fear of crowds. For a short time in her life, she could not go to the shopping center, could not go to Walmart, could not go to the mall, could not go anywhere. Because when she got around people, crowds, she would just have anxiety attacks and panic attacks. She had great fear. She didn't control the phobia, it controlled her. And so when man lives in fear, it dominates the hearts and minds of people. It paralyzes the believer. It paralyzes us. It motivates us to make wrong choices. And it hinders the will of God in our life. My thought today is this, is look at Joseph and all, look at Joseph and Mary and all the other times in the Bible that God talks to his people but not fearing. My thought was this, what causes fear? Why is it that we can read the Bible and see these great things take place, but yet still, as people, live in fear? And by the way, 2020 has been a year of fear for many people. In many different fronts. Not only do we have a pandemic that we deal with that has caused great fear among the saved and the unsaved. Christians are afraid of a pandemic, so they've stopped serving God. They've shut up in their house and they're living in fear. Now we are in fear of our country. We're in fear, you know, we're supposed to be in fear if Trump gets in. Supposed to be in fear if Biden gets in. This thing, and people, and we see that the men of evil intent use fear to control people, manipulate people. Where does fear come from? Why do we have fear today? Well, look with me, hold your place in Matthew, come back with me in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter number 3. I find very interesting, as we look at the word fear today, and even in the gospel story, the birth of Christ, God's plan and God's prophecy, men dealt with fear. Where does fear come from? I find very interesting that before Genesis chapter 3, that fear was a part of our makeup. That God did not create us to have fear. That in the garden, Adam and Eve walked with God in the cool of the day without fear. They had no fear. That Adam and Eve talked to they talked to the serpent, to the animals, and had no fear. There was no fear prior to chapter 3. Man did not know what fear was. Look at me at chapter 3 and verse number 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou?" Now watch the response. Verse number 10. And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden." Now he responded in a way he never has responded ever before. "And I was afraid." Why? "Because I was naked and I hid myself." Fear is a result of sin. Now I remind you, I really believe this, that before Genesis chapter 3, that Adam and Eve did not live a life of fear. Amen. They had no fear. They were not paralyzed by fear. They had no phobias. And they could walk with God in the cool of the day and respond to Him. There was no fear. But now that sin came, and there was also sin now, is fear. And all through the Word of God we find that men struggle with fear as a result of sin. Listen to Proverbs 28:1. "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Why does a wicked man flee when there is no pursuit? Fear. Fear causes a man to flee. Where did that fear come from? Sin. A righteous man is as bold as a roaring lion, as that mighty king of the jungle. But a man that's caught up in sin, a man that's hiding sin. I believe that many times in the Christian's life, we are paralyzed. We miss God's will because of fear. So sin causes fear. Man also fears the unknown. Joseph and Mary, of course, though they were righteous and they were virtuous and they were just, they were still sinners like you and I. By the way, Mary is not the God of heaven, or the Queen of heaven. She's not God's mother. She was a sinner saved by grace, but God used her as a great vessel to bring forth a son in this world named Jesus. But they also dealt with their own sin nature, with the fear of the unknown. Again, may I remind you that for 400 years, there had been open prophecy. Seemingly God was silent. There was no prophets. And now all of a sudden, now here comes the Spirit of God on the scene. And Mary now is a child and to bring forth Jesus Christ. And so they have the fear of the unknown. And that's what many times paralyzes the believer today. The fear of the unknown. What about the coronavirus? What about our government? What about our country? What about the vaccine? What about tomorrow? Many Christians today are so afraid of death because you never have been dead. Right? And so though we believe, it's still in our own minds an unknown thing. So men have the fear of the unknown. Men oftentimes fear the reproach of others. We find verse number 19 that the Bible says here that Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example. She was afraid of reproach. You see, if Mary would be a public example, so would Joseph be a public example. Oftentimes we have the fear of reproach among men, what men may think of us or what men may do to us. And so others fear. We find throughout the Old Testament, through the New Testament, when it came to the persecution of believers, God said to the Christian, "Fear not." Why? Because the reproach of the wicked man is a fearful thing at times. So men struggle with fear. Fear because of sin. Fear because of the unknown. Fear because of reproach. And I really believe this. Men fear the cost of commitment. You see, it would cost Joseph. It cost him nothing to be a chosen vessel, but it's going to cost him something to be Jesus' father. The fear of commitment. What would it cost me to serve God? How many friends will I lose? How much money will I lose? How much do I have to give up? What do I have to change in my life? And so being the earthly father of Jesus Christ would come with a cost. Hey, Noah was saved by grace, but he paid a price to build an ark. Moses was chosen of God and God used him, but he paid a price to lead Israel out of Egypt. Paul was saved by the grace of God, and God changed him from being a persecutor of the church to being an apostle, but it cost him to be an apostle. So many times I believe in the Christian life, been fear, commitment. What will it cost me to serve God? Will I lose my family? Will I lose my friends? Will it cost me money? Will it cost me my habits? What I want to do? There's a fear here. Salvation is free. But being a Christian is a sacrifice. Romans 12 said this, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. To be saved cost us nothing. It cost Christ everything. It cost us nothing but faith. But today you can be saved and not be a Christian. See, being saved, it takes faith. Being a Christian means you are like Christ. Oftentimes we're afraid, we have fear. If I'm a Christian, a real Christian, what will it cost me? See, because being a Christian is a sacrifice. Now here's what I find today. And perhaps today, if I was a psychiatrist or took psychology, I might be able to find many other reasons that why people are afraid. But I believe the bottom line is that fear has a result of sin. Before sin, men did not have fear. After sin, man now deals with phobia. Now God, we find in our text here that God comes along and God helps men with their fear. Isn't it a blessing that God is so gracious to us? That God doesn't say to us, hey, dummy! Don't have to be afraid of the dark! Stop it! Grow up! Be a man! You know, have a backbone! But He comes alongside of us and comforts us and says, fear not. Now, what is God's remedy for fear? Well, I want to say some things this morning from the Scripture, God's remedy for fear. What helps men in their fear of serving God? Of fulfilling God's will for their life. What can help us not to be afraid, to have good courage and be strong as Joseph did? Number one is this, God has a plan to fulfill His promise. God has a plan to fulfill His promise. Look at Matthew 1 and verse number 1. Matthew 1:1 says this, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, watch what it says here, the son of David, the son of Abraham. What God's saying here is, I have a plan to fulfill my promise. You see, God promised both David and Abraham, He made a covenant with them. He said to David, David, I'm going to establish your kingdom forever. 2 Samuel 7, 12 through 13. He's established His throne forever. To every generation that God would establish David's throne. In the book of Genesis chapter 12, God promised Abraham, I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars of the heaven, the sand of the sea, and from your seed every nation will be blessed. You know who that seed is? Jesus Christ. You know who the king of the throne of David would be forever? Jesus Christ. So what helps men in their fear to serve God is to realize this, that God has a plan to fulfill His promise. God is not slack as His promise, as some men count slackness, but He's faithful and just, and God promised Jesus Christ. And so He says, Joseph, Jesus Christ is God's promise. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. So God what helps our fear? To understand that God fulfills His promise. Why today can I live a life with no fear? Because God said He would save me by His grace and keep me by His power. Amen. He's got a promise. Why today do I not live in fear of what might take place in this world? Because I'm simply passing through and Christ promised to come again. Amen. He comes to come again. And so what helps men's fear? God's promise to fulfill God's promise. Number two is this. God has a plan to fulfill His prophecy. His prophecy. Not just His promise, but His prophecy. Look at verse number 22 and 23. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. We find in Isaiah 7:14, Isaiah preached this, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Now catch this now. We find that over 400 years prior to this, 500 years prior to this, probably close to, really probably close to 700 years prior to this, Isaiah prophesies and says, the Lord said that God's going to send his son. He's going to come through a virgin. She'll be conceived of the Holy Ghost. And he's going to save his people. He'll be named Jesus Christ. He'll be named Emmanuel, God with us. No doubt, Joseph knew that prophecy. And so now, in the midst of this fear, God uses his word to say, Joseph, I'm going to keep my promise. I'm going to keep my prophecy. I'm going to keep my word. And God's word, God's word can calm our fears and strengthen our fear and give us great courage. God sent his son at the right time. Look with me at Galatians chapter 4, please. Hold your place in Matthew. Look with me at Galatians chapter 4. So Joseph now, he's in the midst of this fear, being consumed with fear, the fear of the unknown, the fear of what might be, the fear of reproach, the fear of commitment. What's it going to cost me to be his son? And God comes alongside him and says, listen, Joseph, don't be afraid. This is my promise I gave to you a long time ago. It's also my prophecy. Look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 4, please. It says, when the fullness of time was come. That's a great phrase to remember. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus, God fulfilled his word at the right time. Why should we fear? God is never too early and never too late. At the right time. Now, it may have seemed like to Joseph, God, you've been silent for years. We heard nothing from you, God, and now this. But it was the right time. God's time. And so in the midst of Joseph's fear, God came at the right time. It was not too early, it was not too late. But when the time was right, Christ came. We can be like Job as well, like Joseph and like Job, where Job said this when he was being tried. Job 23:10 says this, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he had tried me, I shall come forth as gold. You see, Job, he can live in fear, but he said this, God knows where I'm at. At the right time, at God's time, he'll deliver me. So we live with fear. People today start with fear. Fear of the unknown, fear of commitment, fear of reproach, fear because of sin. And God has a way to, as a heavenly father to come along with us and comfort us in our fear. He says, be not afraid, but how can I not be afraid? I got a promise I'm going to keep. I'm going to fulfill my word. He fulfills his prophecy. God's word can help us in our fear. Number three is this. How does God help those who are in fear? Through his promise, through his prophecy. But God has a plan to reveal his power. Verse number 18, the Bible says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost. Can I ask you a question today? How many times has this happened before? Never. This is not the way that reproduction works. This is not how that is supposed to be done. But God uses his power now to bring forth a child through a virgin. And Jesus Christ was conceived by the Holy Ghost. God here, he reveals his power. The impossible was accomplished through the promise and power of God. God's power is greater than our fear and our problems. Matthew 22:29. Christ said this to the Pharisees and the scribes. He says, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. Now listen to this. Nor the power of God. See what God did to Joseph. He reminded him of his promise, of his prophecy, and of his power. Joseph, the thing that's done is not done by happenstance. It's done by the power of God. And boy, through the word of God, we see his power unfold before our very eyes. Creation is the power of God. Noah in the ark is the power of God. Hey, part in the Red Sea is the power of God. Here this morning, as we read the scripture, the gospel, Jesus Christ being born is the power of God. That's God's power. We find that in the scripture that as Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for us, that was the power of God. And when Jesus Christ conquered death, and He conquered sin, and He rose from the grave, He was risen by the power of God. Death was conquered. The devil was defeated by the power of God. Now, if through all those things take place, God, His power is greater in your life than your fear. God's not dead. He's not lost His power. He's not lost His strength. But God does know. He does know that we are but people, that we're but flesh and blood, and that we, as much as we love Him and know His Word, and come to church and sit in the pew, that we as His people at times are consumed with phobia, with fear. And God says this, I got a promise, I'm coming again. He fulfills His prophecy, He fulfills His promise, and He has sold us His power. His power. Today, God has revealed His power in your life when you got born again. Now, there are times when things may appear scary. But when Daddy came in the room, turned the lights off, we realized that Daddy was stronger than the dark. Listen, my Father in heaven is stronger. He's of greater power than anything that might be in the dark. We also see that God has a remedy for fear. He has a plan. He has a plan to fulfill His promise, to fulfill His prophecy, to reveal His power. But also we find this, God has a plan to save His people. Look what He says to Joseph in verse number 20 again. Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. God said this to Joseph. Joseph, don't be afraid. I've got a plan. I have a plan. I want to save my people. See, Joseph, he said, Joseph, fear not, the child Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. That boy that you were raised will one day raise up and save his people from their sins. Listen, this trial that you fear right now, this obstacle that you fear right now, this is the birth of the gospel. God had a plan to save His people. See, God's plan is always for His glory and for our good. And God wanted to use man, Joseph and Mary, to bring forth a son named Jesus to save His people from their sins. When the devil shrouded the world with fear and darkness, God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pierce the darkness and become the light of the world. Jesus Christ entered into a sin-sick world to take away the fear and darkness that plagued the minds and the hearts of people. See, the devil is a master at keeping people in the dark with fear. Listen to 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 5. In fact, turn there with me in the Bible, please. To turn to the right, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The devil is a master of keeping people in darkness and in fear. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 5, verse number 3 through 5 says this. Watch what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God commanded the light, shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We find that the devil is a master at keeping folks in darkness, and this was his intent. His intent was to keep folks in darkness, and in that darkness there's great fear, and there's torment and fear. So then we're tormented for all these years in sin and in fear. But Christ came. God's plan was to save His people from their sins. So He said, Joseph, fear not. I've got a purpose and a plan for you and for Mary, that this thing that you fear is a great thing. It's the birth of the gospel, And the reason that Christ would come, Jesus Christ is going to come and He is God with us. He's going to go to a cross and die for the sins of men and redeem man from their sin by His own sacrifice. He's going to defeat sin and defeat death and conquer the grave and give men everlasting life. No, don't fear. There's a plan. What appeared to be dark to Joseph was God's plan to bring light into the world. You see, men were sitting in the darkness, and then came Jesus Christ. And we're reminded today that the world needs Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes.
The world needs Jesus. What is the cure for fear? Bottom line is this, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's the cure for fear. Because all fear has torment, and all fear comes from the devil. It's a result of sin. We can say, well, preacher, I'm afraid of the unknown. I'm afraid of reproach. I'm afraid of commitment. What's it cost me? But really the underlying problem is that fear is a result of sin. And Joseph, hearing the greatest story ever told, the birth of Christ, that God was going to use in a great way, Joseph and Mary had fear. They feared. They, like you and I, struggle with, here's God's will, and I'm afraid. But God said this, listen, my will, I have a fulfill my promise. I'm going to fulfill my prophecy. I'm going to reveal my power in your life. But I have a plan to save my people. Now, this morning, here's what I want you to see. That in the face of fear, we are to dismiss fear and live by faith. Watch what Joseph did in Matthew chapter 1. So no doubt this morning, if Joseph had no fear, why would the angel say, Joseph, fear not? This man had some fear, a phobia, that was going to hinder, paralyze his choices, skew his choices, and hinder God's will in his life. What did Joseph do? Did he quit church? Did he quit reading the Bible? Did he quit on God? Did he say, hey God, this is too much, you're asking too much, it's too hard. Lord, I'm too afraid. I don't want to give up my life for you. I don't want to commit to you. God, I don't want to face the reproach and the scorn of men. In fact, they scorned Joseph all through his life. And they had a reproach against Jesus Christ because who his father was. Jesus? Wasn't his father named Joseph, a carpenter? Now he's who? No, we know who his dad was. He was nobody. See this great fear. What did Joseph do? Look at verse number 24. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. How do you overcome fear? You can overcome it by faith. Faith in what? God's promise, God's word, God's power, God's plan. Hey, why should I fear when Jesus Christ has everything under control? Hey, why should I fear when Jesus Christ is my Savior? God's my Father. The Spirit of God lives inside of me. Why should I live a life of fear when I can live by faith? How do you overcome fear? Not by chanting to yourself, you can do it. Not by looking in the mirror and saying, you are strong. You are beautiful. You are wonderful. You are somebody. You are special. It's by getting on your knees and living by faith and not by fear. Say, but preacher, I have faith. Really? Because faith is demonstrated by obedience. Joseph lived by faith. Joseph did. Look what it says again. Then Joseph, being raised from the sleep, did. He did. He obeyed. He did as God commanded, when God commanded. He didn't say, Lord, let me think about this for a few days. As soon as he woke up from that dream, that vision, Joseph did when God commanded. You know why sometimes fear consumes us? Because we postpone, say, God, not today. Not today, God. God, not today. Today, God, I'm not today. Lord, I know I should be, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know that I'm lost. I know if I died right now, I'd go to hell, but Lord, I'm not ready to be, not today, God, not today. And fear will consume us then. That fear of being reproached, the fear of commitment, the fear of sacrifice consumes us, and we live our life in fear and reject Christ because we didn't do what God calls us to do when He calls us to do it. Today, perhaps you sit in the pew and the Spirit of God is pricking your heart about getting right with God, serving God, loving God, and our reaction is, Lord, not today. Not this Sunday. I'll come again sometime in the future when my life is a little different, and fear controls us and captivates us and consumes us because we don't do what God says to do when God says to do it. And Joseph, when he woke up from his sleep, did as God commanded when God commanded. I was always told as a child that obedience is instant obedience. That if you didn't obey the first time, it wasn't obedience. And God expects us to obey when He commands it. And that's when He commands it. By the way, that is demonstration of faith. You see, faith is not a feeling. Well, I feel. No, that's why you're living a life of fear. Because of feelings. But faith is this. God's promised it. God's Word says it. God's power reveals it. I'm a born-again believer. So I'm going to do what God says to do when God says to do it. Next, watch this. Joseph did as God commanded, when God commanded it, but also how God commanded it. Look at verse number 25. And knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Joey. Bob. Bill. No, Joseph. Now, this may seem contrite, but this is big stuff. How do I overcome fear? When Dad said, listen, nothing to be afraid of. I had to trust and believe him. That he had checked out my room. There was no monsters under the bed. There were no bad guys in the house. There were no dinosaurs in the closet. There were no tarantulas in the corner. That he had protected me. I'm okay. I trust him and I'd obey him. And so fear and faith is this, to obey God when God says to do it. Don't put God off. But also to obey how God says to do it. You know why people are afraid to die? They're professed to be Christians. Because they're trying to be saved through their works or their religion. And there is great fear in that. Did I do it just right? Did I get baptized enough? Did I give enough money? Was I good enough to my neighbor? Did I do enough good works to earn my way to heaven? And there's fear in that. And so they try to get saved how they want to get saved. But salvation only comes through Jesus Christ. Not through being a church member, being a Baptist, a Lutheran, or Pentecostal. Hey, it's through trusting in Christ. And so we find this, that faith is doing what Christ says, how He says to do it. Joseph named his firstborn son Jesus. Why? Because God said to do it. Christian, today, are we less expected, as Joseph was, to obey God? Why do Christians today live a life of fear? They're afraid of corona. They're afraid of politics. They're afraid of who's in office. They're afraid of what the world might think of them. You know, it was amazing to me as we dealt with other preachers throughout this whole pandemic that preachers are like, but we got to keep a good testimony. May I remind you, the world hated Jesus Christ. It's going to hate us. My concern is not to have a good testimony before the world, but before Jesus Christ, to be approved by Him. And here's how we do it. We obey God when He says so and how He says it. You know, I'm amazed at what we as people, all of us included today, me from as well from the pulpit, we read God's Word and we try to modify it to meet our opinion, what our likes are, what we want. But Joseph's example was that Joseph lived a life of fear. His example was not to let fear control him, but to trust God, live by faith, and did what God commanded them when God said so and how God said. You see, the fear will cause you to cease, fear will cease the work of God and rob you of God's blessings. Today, my objective today is not to get you to love Pastor Mass or to put more money in the offering plate. Here's what you see though, when you live a life of fear, Listen, I'm not saying that you're never going to be afraid, but when we let fear become a phobia, control you, and you miss God, it'll cause you to miss God's will for your life, cease His work in your life, and you'll miss the blessings. Think about what Joseph and Mary must have thought years later when they seen God face to face. They realized that their obedience and their faith not only was a blessing to them, but the entire world. See, today I'm convinced that many of us miss God's will and blessings because we have let fear control us. And God says, be not afraid. But preacher, understand, how can I not live by fear? Live by faith. Do what God commands you when God says so. And do it how He says. Young folks, this may seem contrite, but when God says obey your parents, that's how you overcome fear. You live by faith, you obey your parents. When God says, but preacher, how can I, I'm afraid of commitment, I'm afraid of what might take place, I'm afraid of life, of marriage, of children, how would I do? You just obey God. You love your wife. Submit to your husband. Be faithful in witnessing. Read the word of God. Walk in prayer. You live by faith. Fear has torment. Today you're tormented. That's all a result of sin. And Jesus Christ came to save us from our sin. Living by faith allows me to live in God's plan and participate and experience and enjoy God's blessing. As Joseph and Mary did. Don't miss out. Don't miss out on God's will for your life, young people. Don't miss out on God's blessings for your life. Don't be afraid of being a Christian. Live in fear. You miss out what God has in store for you in God's plan. Today, if you've not been saved, God's plan, God's will for you today is this, to overcome sin, and overcome the fear of death and the fear of sin. His plan is that you might receive Christ as your Savior by faith. Today, if you've not been saved, the way to overcome fear, the very first step is trusting Christ. He's the answer to all of man's fears. Well, today we come to you, Father, in closing. We thank you, dear God, today for the example of Joseph. And Lord, during this great time of Christ coming into the world to save sinners, it appears to me that your people dealt with fear. And God, you showed Joseph how not to be afraid because of your promise and your word and your power and your plan to save your people from their sins. God, help us today, I pray, as we face the unknown, as we face our fears, to be faithful, Lord, to look to your purpose and your plan and your power and your promise, Father, as well. Help us today, I pray, in your name we ask. Today, let's all stand together as the invitation is given. Piano player begins to play an invitation song. Perhaps today you say, preacher, I've been living a life of fear. I've been afraid of getting saved. Fear of the unknown. Sin has caused me to fear trusting in Christ. What people might say about me. What my family might do. What it might cost me to get born again, to be saved, to be a Christian. Today would you come and let God take away your fears and receive Christ as your Savior? I encourage you today to live by faith and not by fear, because God is able. God is able. Today, perhaps you're a Christian this morning. You say, preacher, I know that I'm saved, but I have bucked against God's will for my life. Some things that God has called me to do that I've not done. I'm not answering the call because I'm afraid. I'm afraid of failure. I'm afraid of what might take place tomorrow. I'm afraid of the reproach of the brethren. I'm afraid of the commitment it might cost me. But God comes to us and He says, fear not, be of good courage, be not afraid. I have a promise. I have a prophecy. I have my word. I have my power. Today, would you trust Him and live by faith and not by fear? Today, you come this morning. No doubt that the great men and women of old that God had used in a great way, no doubt they dealt with fear. You can't tell me that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had no fear facing that fiery furnace. That Daniel had no fear facing a lion's den. That Esther had no fear in facing king. And she said, if I perish, I perish. There was some fear there. But here's what happened. Here's how God was able to use these men and women by His grace and for His glory. Is they didn't live by fear. They chose to live by faith, trusting God for the outcome. Today there's no different for us as well. There's fear all around us. The Apostle Paul lived with fear all around him. How do you overcome fear? Choosing to trust God and living by faith. Listen, when you get in the Word, live them by faith. When you're on your knees and pray and ask God to help you, live them by faith. When you come to church and participate and get involved, live them by faith. When you tell the world, no, I'm not going to live that way any longer, that's not my life, you're living by faith. When you knock on doors, pass it all track, you're living by faith. When you answer the call to be a missionary or a pastor or a pastor's wife, you're living by faith. Don't let fear capitalize you, but let fear lead you. Or let faith lead you and control you, consume you. Faith in not a man, but in God, the Creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Lord Supreme. God has no problem. He has no fear. But today we come to you in closing. Lord, may we see today how great that you are, your might, your power, your love, your compassion, your holiness, your righteousness, Father, and realize today that I'm safe in the arms of Jesus Christ. I'm hid in the hollow of his hand, and no harm can come to me except, God, what you allow. May we see, God, the big picture, your plan for our life and your power, Father, in our life. May we glorify you, Lord, as we live and walk with you. We pray in your name. Amen.